Waking up in the morning, thinking about so many things. I wish things would get better. I tried it. What is the next one? What is the next one?
This show because we were so excited and our Anchor account is gone.
I mean, we can log in, but all of our episodes are gone. And if you hear squeaky toys in the background, that is Sirius and Quincy playing us their symphony of life. But yes, yeah. I don't understand it
because we never got an email from Anchor about the account to our podcast email or even my personal email. My microphone's falling down.
Like, damn, I know we've been some inactive ass bitches, right? For a little bit. We take a break
and this is how they repay us?
Our mental health break / school break?
I survived.
This is how they repay us?
I went through the comp exam and finals for this?
This is what was getting you through. And now, listen, if we have to start over
from the ground up, we'll do
it. It's over for me. It's my 13th reason, Catherine. It's my 13th reason.
This is, as Julie said, this is so on brand for us.
It is on brand.
Of course, I make the cute little TikTok announcement. And now we can't release it because we don't have an account.
Yeah,
I emailed them and I was like, hey,
what happened?
Because like when you
even Sirius is mad.
Yes, fight for a Sirius. Like even when you go, like if you have the Anchor app on your phone and you type in our show, it's there and you can listen to it. But when we try to log on, it's not there.
It's like, you're a new Anchor account. And I'm like, we're not, though.
Where are we a new account?
So I guess we're going to still try and record and edit. I'll get this edited and have it just ready for the moment that we get access to our account back.
Hopefully, or like whenever I hear back from Anchor.
You're back? Yeah.
Why
at
did
least
you do
not,
this?
So, like, you know,
I made sure
we promised you guys this episode, and it's coming.
And when we were putting this together, I made sure that like the intro music and the elevator music were like royalty free, like we wouldn't get penalized for using it.
Exactly.
So what happened?
Well. Hey guys.
Hi.
It is your favorite struggling, crime fighting, cult bullying duo of Julie and Kat.
Yes, we're here.
And this is Miss Murder.
And I was so excited about telling Julie this case.
But still be excited.
Oh,
it's fine. No.
Yeah,
we're not dampening. No, we're not dampening this mood because we've already manifested it into the universe that we're getting our account back and everything's going to be fine. And you know what? We're just gonna get back into the swing of things.
We are.
Because for about like 2 months now? Has it been like 2 months now?
I think.
Just about. Catherine's had school.
I had a comp exam.
I passed. She passed because she's a true crime fighting warrior princess.
I passed it by 4 points on the first section.
That's right. But you passed it, and that's what counts.
Everyone struggles with that.
I don't have any excuses.
You're in the corporate world.
I'm in the corporate world.
That's all you need to say.
That's all I need.
Corporate America.
Corporate America. It drains you.
It does.
But I'm really excited to get back to recording. A lot has gone on in the past couple months, and I'm just like, I need I'm ready for this constant in my life. Prince Philip died.
That lady who was a cult leader found wrapped up in Christmas lights. And then the diet guru cult leader died in the plane crash with her husband who played Tarzan in like the 90s or something.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And now they've got a person of interest for the Molly Bish case that came out like that news came out like a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you followed the Molly Bish case at all. Okay. Well, I'll have to do an episode on it.
Yes, please do.
It's very, it's one of those like, it's a very Catherine style episode of whodunit.
Oh.
So maybe, maybe I got to take a stab at it.
Okay. You tonight, my dear.
Oh, shit. Okay. What better way to start this back up?
You know, because I was like, if we're making our comeback, like, why not bring it back to the romantic story we had in episode one, which I hope we will gain access to again. Manifestation.
Chaos.
Okay. So I was like, this will be like the perfect welcome back where it all began. And this is our rebirth.
Our crowning of the head.
Oh, that's but I don't now like we've, that.
We've been stuck in the birth canal by anchor is tied its umbilical cord metaphorically around Miss Murder's neck. And that's quite a graphic image in them. I may delete that because I'm instantly regretting But we'll see. I'll probably think it's hilarious once I'm editing this, and I'll be like, no, I gotta leave that shit in.
Leave it in. I say leave it in.
Yes. Okay. Well, I, for one, am ready.
Ready. Ready. All right. So, how do I even start this?
Catherine, do you remember how to podcast?
Nay, my lord.
Nay. It's like riding a bike, Catherine. You don't forget.
But you do fall. You can't. It's possible to fall.
You're right. I can't even argue with you there.
So, we're going to talk about a story that I'm honestly surprised that it's still not, I feel like it's one of those cases where, like, you know, now we have, like, Casey Anthony, OJ, like, you have the big name offenders.
Like, the notorious
ones. Like, the notorious ones. This is one of them.
Like, even it though, should be up like, there.
It should be up there with, like, definitely as one of the crimes of the 20th century.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
So, la, 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 we're traveling back in time to 1919.
Ooh. So, we're gonna travel on back to 1999, and we have two sisters. Okay. Our first sister, Candace. She was born 1919 in Georgia. And... wait, hold on. In 1919?
1919.
And we're in
1990? Oh, no, I said 1919, didn't I?
No, you said 1990.
Oh.
I was 1919.
What? We're traveling to the year 1919.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for
just
clearing that up.
Just to clarify for your ears. So there were two sisters. Candace. Oh, fuck. What's the other one's name? She's way down here. Elizabeth. We got Candace and Elizabeth. So Candace, she got married. She had two kids, but the marriage didn't work out. She got a divorce. So she moved from Georgia to New York, and she became a model. You know, she's one of those platinum.
Oh, she became a city girl.
She had her hot girl summer that year.
I love that.
Because she was a toothpaste model.
So she had pretty teeth.
She had real pretty teeth. And that's one of the things people would compliment her on. And she's like, damn, I'm going to make money from this. Like any good hot girl would do.
Capitalism. boss girl boss.
Girl boss. Arm and Hammer girl boss all the way.
Yes.
So she was modeling, making some money, but she also had those two kids to raise and New York City, a little rough and gritty. So she moved the family to New Orleans. And this is where she opened.
Oh, much less rough and gritty in New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know what the motive was behind that, but they moved to New Orleans, and this is where she opened the Candace Finishing School, Modeling School, and Modeling Agency. Oh. So, for young ladies to finish education.
And so the student became the teacher.
Yes. So, because she had a pretty elite clientele, she became very, you know, in with the affluent people of New Orleans. And so she, as a part of her duties, was volunteering for a fundraiser for the New Orleans Grand Opera Company. And her job was to try to get donations from the bigwigs. Mm-hmm. And this is where she met Jacques Mosler.
Ooh,
and according, the only place I was able to find information from him, and it's literally called True Crime Cases Blog. That's the only place I was able to find info about him.
Uh-huh.
But he was born in 1885. He was born in 1885.
Okay.
His parents immigrated from Romania, and Jacques started working around 13 to support his mother because his dad had died. And he quickly became, like, a business mogul. He started out as a mechanic, and then he, like, worked his way up into the shop, and then he was eventually running, like, the finances of the dealership. And so, so he was having his girl boss moment, because when he was 25 years old, so that would have been...
Listen, the girl boss term is gender inclusive,
yes.
Okay? We all have a girl boss inside of us waiting to come
out.
Did
I tell you that I actually bought, like, 90s girl boss earrings?
No.
I'm gonna get them and show you.
Go get them, please.
So these earrings really make me look like I'm going to, like, just take over Wall Street.
Yes.
Like, let's crunch some numbers.
The geometric shapes.
I'm an accountant. I work at the bank.
You work at the bank. The contrast of the gold
and
with the black.
And my mom bullied me when I bought them. Yes,
you know,
I am a grown adult. My mommy bullies me. Out of love.
You know, mothers.
Yes. But she was low-key mad I could pull them off.
Literally, Catherine can pull off any pair of earrings.
It's
any pair.
It's a gift.
It is.
Maybe I'll post
well,
a picture
I, for
of the
one,
girl
love
boss
them.
Earrings. Yes.
Yes.
This is probably what Candy wore to seduce her man. So.
That's what I would wear if I were going to seduce Jacques.
So when he was 25, this is when cars were finally being mass produced and, like, available to the public. So his brain went, cha-ching, let's make some money. And so these cars were also very expensive. So a lot of people were using credit to buy the cars, and that's how he made his fortune off of credit.
Credit is fake, bro. It's fake.
It
bro.
Is.
Money.
I want to know. I want to know why paying off my student loans makes my credit score go down.
Yep.
What is that reason? I know there's probably a reason, but I'm just going to say that reason is bullshit. I'm
it
paying
just doesn't
off.
Make sense.
It doesn't.
Exactly.
So he also had a financial boom. Because after World War II, all of these soldiers were coming home, and they needed to get cars, they needed to get houses,
they needed to get back into
their American groove. So, in today's monies, his worth is around $300 million.
Oh.
So he got money.
Jacques had money.
Jacques has the money. So...
he had also gotten married when he was in his 20s, and they had 4 daughters, and they eventually got a divorce. It just didn't work out. So, what year? So, he met Candace, who was also nicknamed Candy.
Things are coming together.
So, Jacques and Candy met in 1948. 47 is when he and his wife filed for divorce. And then, in 1949, Candy and Jacques got married.
Okay, so he was moving fast.
He was. And there was an age gap. There was an age gap. I think he was around 52 and she was 28. But it was like one of those, he wasn't a silver fox, but like he looked good for his age.
Okay. You know? And I feel like at that time, it was more socially acceptable to have that big of an age gap.
It's still creepy. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, if someone who was 20 years old wanted to date me, I would feel so uncomfortable.
Like, it's just being like, what 5 do you have in older. Common with a 20? Yeah.
Like, just thinking about that age gap of 5 years, I'm like, no, you're a child. No, go away. So between Candy and Jacques, 6 kids, the 2 from Candy and the 4 from Jacques.
Right.
But then, in 1950, Jacques and Candy read in the paper that there was a man and a woman, they had 5 kids, the man killed his wife and one of the kids, so Jacques and Candy adopted the 4 surviving kids.
What? So that's
10. 10 children.
I couldn't do that.
Oh my gosh. If we like did this in like a studio, you could see Julie trying to calculate the numbers.
I was like, wait, 6 plus.
Yeah, no, I literally had to write down 10. So I wouldn't.
But I mean, we love a philanthropic moment.
Yeah.
We love these kids not having to go into foster care.
Yeah. I don't think they saw the murder take place. I'm not entirely sure. But they were like, oh, these poor kids, let's adopt them.
So, I love that.
Yeah, that was really nice. So this is all Candy. And now we have Elizabeth. Not much is really known about her, but that's fine. We're not here to talk about Elizabeth. But yeah, honestly, so like Candy right there, Candy was a whole page. Elizabeth is, I can count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 bullet points for little Elizabeth, damn, which is less than a quarter of a page.
Damn.
But Elizabeth. Poor Elizabeth. So she married a man, Garrett Powers, and on January 3rd, 1942, she gave birth to her son, Melvin Lane Powers. And I was reading it, and I was like, why does the name Melvin sound so familiar? And do you want to know where I remember it from?
Where?
It was the giraffe from Madagascar.
No, I knew you were going to say that, because I thought about it, and I was, no.
I was like,
he was Melmin with an M, Melmin the giraffe.
What?
Not Melvin.
No, he was Melvin, wasn't he?
He was Melmin.
No, I don't believe you.
Look it up.
I am typing it into my Google.
I know this because, exactly, that's right. I know this because last time when I went to Universal Studios on one of the little like shuttle buses, my sister and I had a whole argument. It like fucking about what this giraffe's name was, because he was in love with the thick ass hippo Gloria. Thick queen, Melmin.
I'm actually crying. Oh my god. Well, Melmin is a stupid name. <I'm> sorry. This is a stupid name. Where did they come up with this? Oh,
they're
Google.
Talking zoo animals.
The second, so you know how Google has like questions, like when you Google a specific topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Melmin a boy or girl? Melmin Mankiewicz the 3rd. is a male giraffe. He has a furry coat, green eyes, a snout, a long neck, brown spots, horn, and a tufted tail. And apparently, Melman the giraffe has Lyme disease.
What the... Does this giraffe have its own Wikipedia page?
Oh my gosh. This is just from Google. I just typed in... What was that? I was typing in Melvin, Madagascar, and then it went to Melman. And it's like, people ask, what's wrong with Melman? He is so...
Very concerned. He's a hypochondriac.
Yeah, it says, but he is somewhat of a hypochondriac, having doses of medicine for meals and doctor's appointments frequently. He even complains about having brown spots on his neck, though he stops doing this after he realizes he is not dying.
After he realizes that he is a giraffe, and giraffes have spots.
And this has been brought to you by National Geographic.
It's very much giving Andy. Oh, I just gave his full government out.
Oh, you should put the little censor.
The bleep. I'm gonna find a bleep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I learned a thing today. His name is Melman. That's stupid. Anyway.
But Melvin.
Let's talk about Melvin.
The only logical name here.
It's the only name that makes sense. Wow, I really thought his name was Melvin. What? Oh my gosh. So,
are you still on the Melman Google results?
So, the list of questions people ask is still going on. What part of the internet have I just stumbled across to? A cron. I can't even speak. Why does Mort have 12 wives?
Mort is a child.
Right?
Is it Mort a baby?
Mort is like a little... I don't really know what kind of animal he is. He's kind of cute. He's a little lemur out there. He's an animal.
He's That's a lemur, all I know. Catherine. Oh my god, have you even watched Madagascar?
It's been years.
That's what we're watching next time you come into town. This is what I request for my birthday is a Madagascar movie marathon.
We have to retrain Catherine on animals. Zoology. Wow.
Think of it as a summer non-degree seeking program.
I'm so excited to put this on my resume.
To supplement.
This will boost my pay by 30 cents an hour.
Yes.
Well, that took a whole detour that I was not expecting. I was.
And on our third attempt to get back into talking about Melvin.
Melvin. So, let's talk about Melvin. So, he served in the Navy, floated around jobs. But he was a youngin', so he got into some trouble with the law. It was like some sort of, he was like scamming people or something. Like,
just that old.
You crazy kids just taking money from people. So he ended up spending 90 days in jail. It wasn't like a little slap on the wrist. That's a lot. His sentence is a lot more than what most people get these days.
Yeah.
So it was while he was out on probation that his mom... said, hey, maybe, I didn't say this, but Candy and Jock, they moved to Houston. They moved from New Orleans to Houston. That's where one of his,
They adopted the kids.
Yeah, this was, Houston was, like, where one of the headquarters for his, like, many businesses. So, Elizabeth told her son, hey, why don't you go stay with Aunt Candy and Uncle Jock, and you can, like...
I already don't like it.
See, this is why we need to live in the same city so we can, like, record this, like, in a studio and, like, have these expressions because they bring me so much joy. I love putting Julie through this kind of turmoil.
She puts me through so much every time. So it's giving Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, and that's what I thought of when I was writing my notes, but I couldn't think of a joke clever enough besides, hey, it's like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Houston edition. It's okay. The Fresh Prince of Houston. Prince of Melvin, Prince of Houston. It's better than Melman, Prince of Houston.
These are facts.
Oh, man. So Melvin was 19 when he moved to Houston to live with his aunt and uncle, and Jacques had basically built this like massive mansion. So he moved in 1961, and Melvin became like a son to him. He like taught him business things that you learn in business school, whatever those are.
Oh, yes.
And as Jacques was getting older, the marriage between him and Candy was kind of changing. So Jacques had developed like respiratory issues, and
he was in his 60s. Twice her age. Yeah.
And I think she was in her late 40s. Again, I don't know how to do math, but she's older, but not as old. So one of the things that actually really helped his issues was being around like salty air and the sea and the water.
It's healing. It's healing, babe.
Nature heals you.
Yes.
So he started traveling a lot between Houston and Miami, but it was like he was pretty much living in Miami. Mm-hmm. And he had a business there, so he basically like stayed in this little apartment above his business. And it was like a tiny place. Like it wasn't, you wouldn't expect a guy that has $300 million to stay there sort of place.
Oh, so he was roughing it.
Yeah, he was okay roughing it. Like Grimes was roughing it for a millionaire. Poor person for a while.
Right.
I saw that on TikTok. I thought it was really funny. Grimes LARPing as a poor person. LARPing. That made my day. I thought it was funny. Oh, and Candy had said that Jacques' personality was changing. There were some changes going on with little Jacques.
Right.
And he was having some late night convos with the bros in his little tiny apartment by the sea.
Oh, you know, Miami.
He had a roommate named
Vincent.
And
they were roommates.
Yeah, so he had a roommate named Vincent who like worked for the company, and they had this it was weird. It was like, I don't have to pay money to stay here, and I live here. It was weird. It was a little weird, but again, like, we're not here to shame.
We're not here to shame. And you know what? I thought I knew where you were going with this story, but now I'm unsure. My head's working a lot. It's an overtime.
So, Candy and the kids would go to visit Jacques and, fly back and forth. So in June of 1964, Candy and the four kids that they adopted flew over to Miami. And then on June 29th, 1964, Candy had a history of migraines. And so it was like 2-3 a.m. that morning where she had to go to the ER to get like emergency treatment for a migraine.
Oh my God. Fucking hate migraines.
They're brutal.
They're awful.
And she got her treatment. They come back like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. that morning. And guess what they find?
What? What do they find?
They find Jacques. Jacques was stabbed 39 times.
Oh, 39. That's
he had a blanket a lot of times to covering him. And there were stab wounds through the blanket.
Through the blanket. Whoever did it didn't want to see his face.
Prop. Oh! I know what happened, so.
Stop. I literally, I'm right there. I'm right there. I'm watching it unfold before my eyes. Okay.
So, they also noticed that he had, like, head trauma. Like, he had been hit in the head, and that's when stabbing.
Okay, got it.
So, the police get to the apartment, and they find, like, broken glass, so they think that's what was used to hit him over the head. They find some cigarette butts. There was a hair in Jacques' hand. And there was, an arm print/palm print on the kitchen counter. So really the only two pieces of forensic evidence, because, you know, DNA testing wasn't a thing, the hair and the print. Those are the only two pieces of forensics they have.
Right.
And Mosler was a pretty cutthroat businessman. I mean, to have a fortune worth like $300 million, you're going to make some enemies along the way. So it was reasonable to assume, like, Candy was like, oh, well, he probably had, he more than likely had enemies in the business that would want him dead. And the police also looked at the roommate. But there was nothing to connect him, like, absolutely nothing. So they're like, well, shit, what are we going to do now? So the police started interviewing the neighbors in the apartment complex. The man in the apartment above Jacques said he heard, no, don't do that, followed by silence.
Can you imagine? Just, like, what do you even think?
And the neighbor who lived underneath him, so I guess it was, like, his apartment was one over his business or whatever. So the downstairs apartment neighbor said that she saw a man she had never seen before and that he had gotten into a white car.
That the man that she'd never seen before got into the white car. Okay.
The strange man got into a white car.
Okay.
So the police are like, okay, the white car. That's a lead. Let's see where this goes.
Yes.
So they find out that this white car was a white Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
And this car was registered to Jacques.
Oh. I thought.
You thought.
Yeah, I thought. So I thought. You knew what you were doing, Kathy.
I know what I'm doing.
You hooked me. You reeled me in.
It's like a game of cat and mouse. Literally.
Catherine and I are in a very toxic relationship. She just manipulates all of my emotions.
Yes, and I manipulate all of your emotions for your own entertainment. You're welcome. So, the police look into the car. The car belonged to Jacques. So, there was an employee of the family. His name is Roscoe Brown. And he had driven the car to Miami. And he said that he had met Candy at the airport. He basically drove to the airport, gave her the car so she would have the car to drive around. Miami. Candy told the police, oh, I did have the car and I returned it to my husband. It was like a company car, I guess.
Right.
And she was at the airport 6 days before the murder, but she only had the car for 3 days. So day one, she's at the airport, you know, halfway through the trip, she returns the car and then the murder happens. But there was no record from the company saying that this car had been returned.
Oh.
It had been found.
Is Candy being deceitful?
Candy. It was found abandoned at the Miami airport. And so the police are like, well, shit, what are we going to do? Like, you know, because
why would she lie about this?
The first, you know, when someone's died and they're married, you got to suspect the spouse. And they're like, okay, we got to expand the circle of who we're looking for. We have the circle of the apartment. Let's expand the circle of Candy and the family and see what we can figure out. So what really made Melvin stand out was his prior criminal history of scamming people.
Scamming.
And the police are like,
clearly... Yeah, like, he clearly wants an easy way of making money, and you've got this pretty much newly adoptive father that's taking you under his wing and is worth $300 million.
Yes. So they look at Melvin because they're like, you've scammed people. You have a man here worth $300 million. That's going to be of interest of us. So they reached out to the Houston area, and they found out that Jacques had called the police to have Melvin kicked out of the house.
Oh, indeed.
Are you wearing your Miss Murder shirt?
I am.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
Thanks.
I look.
It's my favorite.
So Felicia, guys, like, oh.
Well, oh wait, you guys should go get one. That's all I was gonna say is you guys should get a Miss Murder.
Go get our stuff.
It's quite cute.
It is quite cute.
Our logo's really cute. Yeah.
Cute. T Public. Hopefully they didn't delete our account anyway.
Bitch.
So they're like, oh, Melvin was escorted out by the police? Pray do tell. What is going on here?
Was the reasoning.
So there was a rumor going around Houston.
Keep going.
And
tell us.
Melvin and Candy were close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were really
I'm sure
close.
They were. I bet you they were.
And this was not a secret.
Oh, they were. Well, if fucking Jacques just like not around.
He was the last to know. Like everyone knew except Jacques.
No.
And remember, this is a biological aunt.
This is
and
a biological aunt.
Nephew.
Yes.
And I think there was grooming involved.
I'm sure that's
there was absolutely grooming involved because Candy wanted herself a little boy toy. And you know what the boy toy had to do?
I don't want to know, but I want to know.
Before Candy would say, all right, you're my boo.
Oh,
that's really creepy. I shouldn't have done that.
No, I love it.
She said, okay, you have to get circumcised. You also need to get your ears pinned back.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, she didn't like his ears. So he got his ears pinned back.
I have no words. That is the most, like, what a request.
He also had to get cosmetic treatments to smooth the texture of his skin.
Oh, stop. No, that's so sad. This woman was an abuser.
Yeah. And he also had to get his tonsils removed because he snored. And then she was damn. Like, all right, you're my boo.
Nah.
And that is a lot of work to get laid.
Yeah.
This is definitely grooming.
You could just, like, have a boy toy that's not your nephew.
You know, that would be a much better option. And the thing with her, like, when I'm going to post pictures of them. So, like, Melvin, you know how it's like, oh, I have photos of him, but, like, he doesn't really photograph well, but, like, he's really nice. He's kind of like that. I know that sounds mean, but, like, there's, like, but I'll post photos. So, like, one angle, it's like, oh. But then the other angle, you're like, oh. And he was 6'4", like, a huge guy.
Huge guy.
And she wanted that. She didn't care that was her sister's child. Ew.
I just have no words.
And he's 19. Being groomed by this woman that's twice his age.
And like.
And that's one of the things.
That's just like she.
That was like never addressed.
The thing about female offenders. They just go under the radar. I know that's your thing.
That's what I wrote my undergrad capstone paper on. Was how the use of language in media influences the public perception of female sex offenders compared to male sex offenders.
Absolutely. And it's just like you think, you know, when she was marrying this other dude, she was 24. When she was marrying Jacques, 25, 24?
Like mid-late 20s, somewhere in there.
And he was like 50.
He was
so
like early
like,
50s, yeah.
I mean, that's like she. I mean, clearly, I don't even know. It's not the same. Like, at least at 25, you're an adult. This boy was 19.
He was 19.
This is a boy.
And let me give you some insight into him. He was very proud of this relationship.
Oh, I'm
so I just imagine him hanging out with the bros, and then he just kind of ruins the mood because he would brag about going down on his aunt.
Why did you have to phrase it like that? He's like, hey guys, yeah, I'm seeing this girl that you
Yeah, like everybody's talking about, like, oh yeah, you know, my neighbor, like down the hall in my college dorm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my aunt. And it just ruins the whole entire mood for the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people definitely knew, and it was one of those things that we know, but we're not gonna talk about it.
Talk about? So wait, did Candy know that Jacques and his roommate, Vincent, were maybe like...
Yeah, it was one of those things where she, like...
You know?
Little limp wrist motion.
Yes.
I think it was one of those things where she knew. I don't know if maybe he was like bisexual, and because their marriage
was like retaliatory. Like, do you think it was just like, listen, he's gonna do what he does, so I'm gonna do what I do.
I think so. And then also, well, I'll get more into more into this.
Okay, so got it. I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah. So we have incest. Welcome back, everyone.
Back in a big way. Back in a big way. Make a splash. I was going to make a really gross joke, and I...
Please don't.
I'm not going to.
Oh, the way they worded it in the documentary was so disturbing. Like, he was really proud of his skills, and I was like, I don't... That I want to just know why the man died. Why was the man stabbed? I don't need to know all the S. I'm an innocent. where was I? Oh yeah, so Jacques was the last to know. Poor dude.
Yeah.
He didn't know. Like,
he was being cuckolded.
Yeah, like completely oblivious. I don't know if he was completely oblivious. Maybe he was just focusing on his little roommates. He was focusing on the bros. Candy had also written about this affair in her diary. Like any grown woman
would
do.
Listen, she didn't have Twitter.
I was just about to say, if she had a Twitter, she would have an Instagram. She would definitely be, an Instagram.
She would have a Finsta. She would be a Finsta girl.
She would be taking the poolside.
Like, guys, I just did something so quirky. I'm fucking my nephew. I'm sorry.
I definitely am not being a predator right now.
Yeah.
Bringing a whole new world. Cougar style.
Yes.
Like, fucking nasty woman. So, yeah, Candy had written about it in her diary. And they think this is when Jacques really started going to Miami. Like, I'm pretty much moving to Miami now because you're fucking... Mm-hmm. Your sister's kid.
Right.
Who is a kid.
Right. Yeah, I think that would turn me off as well. I don't think that I'd want to really be around for that.
Yeah. And when the police were in Jacques' apartment, they found a note saying, if Mel and Candace don't kill me first, I'll kill them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And because of all of this, Jacques was rumored to be divorced, like considering divorce.
Uh huh.
But, you know, divorce would have been a huge scandal. Right. And there was a prenup. If there was a divorce, Candace would only get $200,000.
Only.
only.
It's just, it's not enough. Like, that's how much one of my bags costs.
Oh my god, total Finsta. But if he dies...
What? How much did she get if he dies, Catherine?
A lot more.
Like, all
of it? I don't know how much. I just know a lot more. Like, maybe probably everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I think that there might be what do you call it? A motive?
I'm getting some motive vibes.
I'm getting motive vibes.
Motive vibes.
Honestly, have you seen those, what's his name? Bowmanizer?
Yes!
Where he does, like, Gen Z as a doctor, Gen Z as a teacher.
Not me as a surgeon. Really,
not me as a CSI. Not me as a detective.
That's gonna be me during my CSI class this summer.
It's giving motive, babes. It's giving motive.
Motive, babes. Oh, but here's the thing.
Okay.
Jacques was in Florida, but Melvin was living in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So how could Melvin killed Jacques?
Huh.
Aeroplanes.
Oh, he flew.
Airplanes. Travel. Airplanes. Air travel.
Air travel.
You breaking know, the speed of sound.
There is record of that. There is record. Yes!
And the police, they kind of caught on to this.
You know?
Because guess who bought a ticket in cash at the Houston airport?
You know, if he uses cash, they can't track him.
Yeah.
That's the logical way of thinking about it.
We're outsmarting these cops.
He was using his He's using the wrinkles in his head.
He didn't really use them, like, well enough. Because it wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh, like, I'm going to plan a vacation in Miami. I'm going to kill my uncle and then kind of fly back 2 weeks later.
Right.
It's more of like, okay, I'm going to fly in the night of the murder and then I'm going to fly out that very same morning.
Right.
So, he had also stopped at a bar. Because, you know, you need a little bit of liquid courage sometimes.
Liquid courage.
When you're going to kill your uncle because you've been fucking your aunt and it's like a Game of Thrones situation for the money.
Yeah.
And the bartender was like, oh, I recognize this guy because he was in here twice in, like, one night. Like, it wasn't, like, hang out for a couple hours. Like,
right.
Bar hopping from, like, Blue Post to, like, somewhere else, you know? Like,
it was like he tried to establish an alibi, but just, like, didn't stick around long enough to actually develop an alibi.
It was more of, like, I'm here and I'm making myself suspicious, therefore there is nothing suspicious about me.
Right.
So, Melvin was arrested. They arrested him.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And they found that the print on the counter was a match to Melvin. And at this point, Auntie Candy was gone.
She fled. She said, peace.
She flew her little blonde ass to Minnesota to the Mayo Clinic.
What? Minnesota? Go to Cancun or something.
But she had to get treatments for her migraines, Julie.
You know, they got the doctors in Mexico.
The Mayo Clinic is world renowned.
You just had your nephew that you were fucking kill your husband. I really don't think that this is a priority on your list right now.
So... the police did not buy this, so...
Right.
They're like, no, Candy. So, they need evidence if they want to secure Candy, because they definitely are like, all right, they had to be in on this together. We need something that links them together.
Right.
So, the family employee Roscoe Brown, who delivered the car. He came back to the police. And he said that the day before the murder, he was, like, cleaning up the Chevy, and Candace drove off in the car, which is a complete contradiction to Candace's story of, I was given the car at the airport, and I returned it 3 days later.
Yeah. That's different.
And the night of the murder, Candy took her kids with her to the ER at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Why would you take your kids when you know your husband is at home and can watch
them? Your husband's at home. It's 1 a.m. They need sleep.
And the hospital nurse said, yeah, Candy got several calls while she was here.
You gonna take that, Candy? You gonna take those calls, Candy?
She's gonna take that candy.
Ew. I hate it.
I don't like that either. But the last call was around, I think they said 4:30 a.m. And they believe this was Melvin calling Candace to say, you're clear to come back to the apartment. Where your children, your adopted children, whose father murdered their mother, their adopted mother has now murdered their adopted father. There was some
The cycle of trauma.
It is. There was some newspaper article. I don't remember if it was Times, but they were like, the irony of these poor kids.
Yeah.
Having the death of a biological parent in imprisonment. And the same thing happens with the adopted parents. And I couldn't find anything that happened to the kids. So I don't know if they got some of his fortune. But that was really sad. Especially because I think they were there, like, discovering his body too. So Candy's arrested. They got her.
I hope so.
They got Candy. So 2 years after Jacques' murder, the trial starts. Candy is 46. Melvin is 24.
Oh my.
And this was like a shit show kind of deal. It was so controversial that nobody was allowed in the courtroom if they were under 21.
Damn!
They could drink alcohol, but they could not be in attendance of this crime. Criminal procedure. Crazy how times have changed.
Sure have.
So, the prosecution, they're like, we're nailing in this story because... apparently, Candy and Melvin were seeking a third party to handle killing Jacques.
They didn't want to get their hands dirty.
And they come from money, so they could afford to pay someone that money to kill Jacques. Right.
Not like freaking Joe Exotic trying to pay what was it, like $8,000 for a hitman?
I don't remember if I sent it to you on TikTok, but there was like a Joe Exotic like taken out of context video, and it was the funniest fucking thing because everyone was like, this dude's crazy. Maybe I sent it to Dallas, but I'll send it to you.
Please do.
So the prosecution just happened? Oh yeah, there were several witnesses that came forward and were like, yeah, they tried to hire me. And there was one guy, I don't remember his name, but he said they were going to pay me $10,000. I only got seven, so I didn't do it. A businessman. Exactly.
A businessman. He knows his worth.
So
he knows his worth.
The prosecution was basically, their whole thing was, this is our timeline. This is what happened. So Melvin got to Miami at 6 p.m. Candy picks him up, drops him off at the bar. Candy leaves the apartment at 1:30 a.m. with the kids to go to the hospital for her migraine. And then Melvin comes to the apartment at like 1:45, 2 in the morning. And he hits Jacques over the head and then stabs him. And afterwards, he calls Candy and says, hey, you can come back. And he flies back to Houston. But Candy and Melvin, they know how to play chess.
Oh, they were three steps ahead?
They know how to play chess, so they hired the best of the best. and they hired Percy Forman. And you want to know who Percy defended?
Who?
James Earl Ray, the man who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, shit.
He also defended Jack Ruby. So we know Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK. Oh. Ruby killed Oswald and requested that Forman be his attorney.
Oh, so he was, he knew what he was doing in court.
Did. Like, I looked at his, like, Wikipedia page briefly, and he only lost, like, 5 death penalty cases out of, like, hundreds. Holy because I think God. With Earl Ray, they did a plea deal, so he wouldn't get the death penalty, but I didn't look more into Ruby because I just did it.
I feel like they knew that they did a shitty job at murdering this man, and they were like, well, we're gonna need all the help we can get.
And from what I saw in the documentary, Forman, it was so fun. Like, it was the best burn. They're like, he really wasn't a great legal scholar, but he knew how to put on a show. And that's literally what he did. So his whole thing was, I'm gonna put the police on trial, I'm gonna put the prosecution on trial, I'm gonna put everybody involved in this case on trial, except my clients. So his defense was, the only physical evidence was a palm print. And so it causes doubt, like, maybe Melvin had visited him before. We can't prove that, so that raises doubt.
Right. And that
the hair was not a match to Jacques or Candy.
Oh.
So he turned the defense as Jacques was killed by a boyfriend, someone that he was involved with. Like, the relationship just ended with Jacques being killed. Uh-huh. So that was his whole defense. And basically,
all he needs is reasonable doubt.
Yeah, that's literally all. Like, reasonable doubt was, like, his whole thing.
It's like, it doesn't match the two people that you're saying did it. So
we can't roll out a third party. We also can't roll out that one of the many people who became his enemy in this business did it. Like, we can't rule that out either. So on March 6, 1966, the jury had reached a verdict.
Ooh.
So Candy Mosler and Melvin Powers.
Wait, were they tried together? It seems like they were.
I think they were. They were found not guilty.
I knew you were going to say that. There's just not enough.
There wasn't enough. So they drove off into the sunset like the ending of Grease.
Oh my God. Into the sunset.
And Candy got everything.
Damn. What about her kids?
I couldn't find anything about what happened to the kids, so I don't know.
Did the kids accept Melvin as a stepfather?
Hey, cousin Uncle Melvin.
That is just the whitest shit.
Truly.
That is just the whitest shit I've ever heard.
Cousin Uncle Melvin. Oh, that's, yeah. So they moved back to Houston. And they lived happily ever after until 1967, a year later.
It's not over?
It's not over. They literally were only together for a year after that. Which, kudos to him for getting out of that situation where he was more than likely groomed by this woman.
Yes.
And Candy was still into her boy toys, and she married a guy who was 17 years younger than her.
Yikes.
And apparently he got a TBI like maybe a year into the marriage. He like fell off a balcony or something, which is also like a little suspicious. And I probably should have looked into that more, but I didn't because of work. So there's that.
It brings an air of mystery to the episode. Did she do it?
Well, legally she didn't, but do we know? So On October 26, 1975, she died after overdosing on migraine medication.
Maybe she wasn't lying about those migraines after all.
She really needed the Mayo Clinic in that time of need. If I'm going to jail, I'm going to get the best medical care before I'm
separated. Best medical care, yes.
So Melvin, he rebounded pretty much from all this. And he learned a thing or two from Jacques about the business, and he himself made a fortune. And he also attended Candy's funeral. And he truly became the Texas businessman because it said he had an affinity for ostrich and alligator skin like a cowboy.
Damn.
So I'm just imagining like the Joe Exotic of the 60s in Texas.
Yeah. Like, that's what it sounds like.
Maybe we'll do another Photoshop and like put Melvin's face over Joe Exotic. I don't think skills are that great, but
yeah, you can try.
But then, like Joe Exotic, he fell from fame and he lost all his money. But he gained it all back through real estate.
What the fuck?
This dude, I don't understand his ways. But yeah, he had a fortune of $200 million. He went bankrupt and then he made all that money back through real estate.
Why did he lose all that money?
Just bad spending. Like, oh, God. Buying.
Definitely like, Joe Exotic.
Buying ostrich and alligator skins for one.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're cheap.
And then on October 8th, 2010, Melvin died at 68 years old.
Oh,
which is 1 year younger than when Jacques died. Jacques died at 69. Melvin died at 68.
Damn. He lived a long, fruitful life, though.
Wow! I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
The real bad guy here is Candy.
Candy
honestly.
Is definitely the bad guy. Like,
Candy's a demon.
Fuck Candy, but I don't think that's, you know, with this whole relationship, I don't think that's the best insult.
Yeah, it's not. Maybe. Don't fuck Candy.
Yeah, don't fuck Aunt Candy. Don't fuck Candy. Don't fuck Candy.
Don't fuck Candy.
Don't do it.
Maybe just avoid Candy.
Find a nice girl your age who's not a sexual predator.
And not your aunt.
And not your aunt. That's, we should really emphasize that. Not the fact that they're not the same age. Scratch that.
That's also a problem. Also a problem.
The age is not the primary issue here.
Yes. Yes.
And that brings us to our ABCs of crime.
It seems like Catherine has
something. Oh, I have a great one. I thought of it while I was at work, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is what I think about that's at work.
I think that's the correct way of spending company time is thinking of
I'm walking around the store. Might as well think of things.
Yeah.
So today's episode is the letter H.
Oh, and what does the letter H bring us today?
Hey, Auntie.
No. I hate it. Ew. Hey, Auntie. Like from Black Panther,
like from
why
Black
would you
Panther.
Do this?
Because I knew it would destroy you.
Michael B. Jordan does not deserve this disrespect.
We don't. No, we shouldn't slander Michael B. Jordan in this episode. But I just thought it was too perfect.
It was too perfect.
Not to do it. That's what I think about at work, y'all.
Catherine is a sick individual.
I am. That's why I'm getting a master's degree.
You're sick. You're sick.
Might as well make a career out of it.
I mean, it's your hobby and it's gonna be your career. So
I say it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Catherine's the only one of the two of us that is not selling out to corporate America, so.
Hey. Well, my job though. Oh god, customer service in a pandemic.
Not
even
fun,
recovering
not fun.
From a pandemic. Oh my god.
Yeah. No. They don't pay you nearly enough to deal with those people. It's just not good.
The only thing that's getting me through is I was thinking about the program I want to apply to in the UK.
Yes! Eventually, Catherine and I are going to have to find time within the 6 hour time difference.
I will make it work. I will these stay episodes. Up. Listen. I will dedicate my life to this show in the way. Did you ever see the TikTok of the Lost employee, the Lost Prevention employee at Ross?
No.
Oh my god. I thought I sent it to you. I probably did. My toxic trait is that if I care about you as a person, I will send you 500 TikToks. You know why? Because I thought of you, because I care. Because
I love you. You love me.
He's basically, it was so fucking funny because nobody shops at Ross. Like, nobody's like, let's go to Ross. It's always like, let's go to Marshall's or like TJ Maxx. Nobody cares about Ross. Yeah. And so the loss prevention guy, he's like running around the store and he's like, I will shed my blood for this establishment. If you even try to steal a sock or a pen, I will be there watching in the shadows. And I was like,
oh,
I love this. I don't even remember where I was going with this tangent.
That's how you feel about Miss Murder.
Yes.
When you move to the UK.
I will move. Yes. I will flee the country.
You will watch from the shadows. Yes. Yes. Catherine's just going to unironically start speaking in an English accent.
Truly. Who am I?
Who are you?
But honestly, after that, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to move you to the UK so we can have, like, our little YouTube studio set up and we can just, like, this. And, like, banner, which you can also buy on TeePublic. You can buy a banner. A tapestry, actually.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's so
honestly.
Cute. TeePublic.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to transfer to the headquarters of our company that's in the UK.
Do it. Leave it all behind.
I'm doing it. Leave it all.
Except the
Leave
dogs.
Leave Andy and the kids. Oh, wait. So take the dogs.
You gotta take the Never dogs. Mind. Sorry, Andy. She's taking the dogs. I'm taking the dogs.
I was gonna say.
I can't do that.
I was gonna say, I'm just gonna start fresh. Leave everything behind. Just forget my whole life.
Here's my carry-on. I'll see you later.
That would make me so sad.
You would be so devastated without your sons.
I would be devastated. The fact that we're not even bringing... Would I be devastated without Andy? Who knows? But the dogs?
The dogs is what matters here. Sorry, birthday boy.
Oh, poor thing.
It's his birthday tomorrow, but when this is released, it's not going to be his birthday, so...
No.
Yeah.
Because we don't have our account.
Thanks, Anchor. Why did you take 48 hours to 72 hours to respond to a request?
Seriously.
Why?
So you may not be able to find us on Anchor, but you can find us at these other places.
What other places can they find us?
Wait, I'm not good at saying the social media.
See, we're totally out of the loop with how to do this. Oh my god.
I was trying to cleverly tie into it, but it didn't. Didn't work.
That's okay. Enthusiasm is what matters. Yeah. So, if you don't already follow us, you should follow us at ms.murder_podcast on Instagram. Well, I will be posting photos of Aunt Candy. Gross predator lady. Along with Melvin, the poor thing that got plastic surgery so that he could get laid.
Poor baby. And also, we will be posting photos of Melmen.
Yes.
We're not going to exclude Melmen, who
was a fantastic co-host this evening.
Yes. Absolutely.
What if I Photoshop Melman's face on?
Yes. Photoshop Melvin's face on.
Melman. I thought about that at work. I was like, oh my god, what if I put Melvin's face on Killmonger and the caption, "Hey, Auntie"?
Yes.
I need to be a normal person.
Yeah.
I should get a normal hobby.
No, that would be much less fun.
We were looking through like baby photos the other day and my mom was like, "Wow, look at you. And now you talk about murder."
You were so cute.
I was a cute
Who knew
chunky.
You would have grown up to be a degenerate?
That's what we were joking about. We're like, wow, look at this sweet little child. And now she talks about murder and homicide and female sex offenders.
She should be proud of you.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
She raised me on Law & Order SVU, the supreme SVU.
So, really, who is to blame here?
Olivia Benson. A queen.
Period. 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 But, yeah. Oh, so, yeah. Find us there. Buy our merch things on TeePublic.
Yes, we have t-shirts and sweatshirts and
coffee. I think the link's in our bio.
I think it is. Because that should still be up. I don't want to open this and be disappointed.
So we're just going to leave it.
We're just going to leave it at that. And hope for the best. Hopefully.
We hope you enjoyed our return. And next week we'll figure out what I'm going to do. Because I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh, I had to take down my conspiracy wall for my comp exam. I was really sad about that. Because they made us do like a 360 of our room to like...
They would have thought that you were cheating.
And I was like, I'm going to have the massive portrait of Princess Isabella Maria of Spain staring down at me, giving me the answers.
That is just the most Catherine sentence I've ever heard in my life.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah. I like this picture a lot. She's kind of got like... eyes that pierce through your soul a little, but like in a cool art history museum type of way. Also a very Catherine sentence to say.
Keep being you.
Being me.
The kids love it. The kids love it.
I love it.
But yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that.
We love you guys. Yeah.
Nothing like fun. Bringing the show back with incest and homicide.
And tons of issues.
Yeah. So. And we, you know, his name is Melman.
Yeah. I think, yes, that's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway from this episode. It's not Melvin. Melman.
Watch Madagascar. It's a great movie.
And I watched that tonight.
Do it.
I'm going to do it and relive some childhood stuff.
Yes. Well, good night, friends.
Good night.
It's been lovely.
It's been so lovely to catch up. Good night.
Good night.